Hey, it's Lena, and we're back in Morning Minutes. We are in a study called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom for Everyday Life. We are studying 1 Corinthians in episode 30. And today we're moving complete beats from singleness and marriage to foods offered to idols. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Remember that the book of 1 Corinthians was written to a church that was seeped with worldliness, and Paul addresses not so much doctrine, but behavior and conduct in the church, and is admonishing and urging this church to come back to its roots of holiness and of being distinct from the culture that they were in. So if you've ever wondered about Christian conduct in the local church, here it is in 1 Corinthians. And chapter 8, we're going to talk about what you need to know about Christian liberty. Christian liberty, and that is something people will talk about, the ability to do things that are permissible, some freedom, the gray areas in the Christian life. That's what we're going to talk about today. So what you need to know about Christian liberty, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 6 says this. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there's no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there's one God, the Father, from whom are all things and from whom we exist, and the one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. And so now he's going to be addressing, Paul's going to be addressing the eating of foods that had been offered to idols, and now the Christians were eating them, and there was judgment. Yeah, you shouldn't be eating this, versus it's okay to be eating it. And Paul's going to settle this because it was causing division in the church, this issue of what to eat and how to eat it. And so here's what you need to know about Christian liberty. The church in Corinth, I mean, there may have been some liberty to eat those foods that are offered to idols to a certain degree, but there was a more important matter, and it was a matter that we're going to get into. So here's point number one. When it comes to certain things in life, God has given us the liberty to choose. There's some absolute rights and wrongs. You must not murder someone. Coveting is wrong. You know, you go through the Ten Commandments, get a gist of the rights and wrongs. But then there are a lot of gray areas in the Word of God. In fact, there are some things that the Word of God doesn't address. We just finished talking about singleness and marriage. And I'll give you an example. Masturbation wasn't never addressed in the Word of God directly. And so you might say that's not a gray area. Well, I mean, there are other examples that you can take that just came to mind right away. But another example here is, you know, what you can eat. Is it okay to eat certain foods? Is gray areas. I was growing up in the era of dancing and music discussions of what is permissible to listen to and what is not. Alcohol is probably the best example of certain gray areas in the Christian life, where getting drunk is wrong, but is it okay to have one drink? And how many drinks is okay? And on, gray areas. So when it comes to certain things in life, God has given us liberty to choose. Christian liberty is the ability to live by grace in areas that are morally okay. I like to think of it as that. There's grace. Some people will fall on one side of the decision versus others. Christian liberty applies to many of the decisions in the Christian life. There are a ton of things that you could sit down and say, well, there's liberty in this. It's not a dogmatic yes or no. It's easier if it was a dogmatic yes or no. I wish God had given us a list of every single thing, but then we'd be robots. And there's wisdom to listen to, and which is why we're studying this book. So Christian liberty has caused, here's the truth. Christian liberty has caused many of the divisions in the church, all right? Sadly, that was what was happening in the church in Corinth. They were fighting over this issue and of whether they could eat foods offered to idols. And anyway, when it comes to certain things in life, God has given us liberty to choose. When it comes to Christian liberty, love ought to be the driving force in action. So there's something more important than what you decide, and it is love. Love. Love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Because of love, we must choose to be humble in our choices. Sometimes we say no and we could say yes. You might feel freedom. We're going to get more into that, I believe, in the next few verses. But it's okay to say no to what you could say yes to because of humility, because of love. And because of love, what we know must never trump who we love. All right, this is critical. If you're out to dinner and someone is with you who might have a problem with alcohol, because of love, you might choose not to order a drink, even though in your conscience it's okay for you to drink. Why? Because of love. And what you know about alcohol must not trump who you love. Because of love, sometimes we say no to what we could say yes to. All right, so there is something more important than your right, and it is love. All right. And get to 1 Corinthians 13 later, and you're going to see the importance of love. So what you need to know about Christian liberty, God has given us liberty to choose. Love ought to be the driving force. And when it comes to certain activities in our life, our vertical focus ought to drive our horizontal decisions. This kind of goes back to love. We're vertical beings first. We relate to God, and out of our love for Him, we make choices. We let Him lead. So doctrine influences behavior. Belief influences behavior. Doctrine is what you think about God. Doctrine is the study of God, theology. And so you have to know God in order to make those decisions. And again, that's where you see the heart of God is love and grace. And Jesus should always be influencing the decisions that we make, thinking about how He would live, what He would do. And we have one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord through whom are all things and through whom we exist. That is our rootedness. And out of that flows our behavior. Now, that is important. These are important principles that will sort of help us tomorrow as we talk about foods offered to idols and how we make decisions that are glorifying to God, and that instead of dividing us in the church, unite us. And so maybe today you're in a church where you're fighting over the gray areas. Let us ask God to give us wisdom to apply His biblical principles and to lead with love and see Him light us up in a world that desperately is looking for unity and love. So it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe it. I hope you do too. In the meantime, have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.